4, 3, 2, 1, and here I am again, Dan Hegerich here at the Do the Cure podcast, hosting another episode. This is the follow-up to my recent one on Friday night that I posted on the two nutritional phobias that I believe have major contributions to chronic degenerative disease of modern living. The first one back then on Friday was about the germ theory, the germs, how germs cause us all our problems, right? When in fact, in that episode, if you listen to it, the microbes are extremely important to our life and to our well-being. So go back to that episode that was just recently published on Friday. So that would be terrific. And if you had listened to it, thank you so much for listening to it. I hope you got some value out of it. That's what this podcast is about, is bringing more value to your life so that you could be healthier, wealthier, and more loving today than you were yesterday. After all, isn't that really what we're all about? Is to be healthier, wealthier, and more loving today than we were yesterday? Or at least moment to moment, day to day, week to week, year to year, so that life will become simpler, easier, and more joyful for all of us, right? So tonight, we're going to get into saturated fat as the second phobia. Think about that. Saturated fat and cholesterol. These have been implicated in all kinds of controversy with regards to nutrition and health. So I hope we can lay down some information for you that you could become informed and make decisions for yourself and your own well-being. I'm sitting amongst a whole bunch of books here. So instead of a quote that I like to start off with, I'm just going to actually read some of these books, the titles and the authors. It's a small list, but here you go. The Big Fat Surprise by Nina Tcholtz. I probably botched that a little bit, but let me try again. That's The Big Fat Surprise by Nina. Might be Tcholtz or Tcholtz. Either one. Tcholtz. The Art and Science of Low Carbohydrate Living by Jeff Volek and Steve Pinney. Here you go. Vitamin K2 and the Calcium Paradox. Why is vitamin K2 important? Well, unfortunately, folks, it's produced by bacteria, microorganisms in our gut, and it's contained in animal foods, mainly fats and proteins, so mostly in the fats, because vitamin K2 is a fat-soluble nutrient. So where are you going to get your vitamin K2? Other than a supplement, supposedly? Well, you can get it in some Gouda cheese and egg yolks and pastured butter. Pasture-raised cows producing butter. And in the raw state, it's probably even better. So we'll get through to that probably through this podcast. Here we are, The Great Cholesterol Con. This book was hilarious. This author was great. You got to read this book if you're interested. Dr. Malcolm Kendrick. That was a fun read. Primal Body, Primal Mind by Nora Gagaudis, who's a giant in the field now of paleo eating and actually beyond paleo, in fact. We've got Gary Tobbs wrote the book, Good Fat, Good Calories, Bad Calories. You'll learn about fat and its importance in our human metabolism and health and well-being. Fat and cholesterol are good for you. Oh my God, that must be a good one, right? It's got to contain something. That was Ulf Ravensov. I botched that too because that's a difficult one. I think it's Russian. Uffe. Ulfi Ravenskov. He was a medical doctor and had a PhD. He wrote a number of books on cholesterol and saturated animal fat. He also wrote the book, The Cholesterol Myths. And then we have another heart surgeon that wrote The Cure for Heart Disease, Lundell Nordstrom. Going down the list further, there's another book by Nora Gagaudis here on my left-hand side of my desk, Primal Fat Burner. That's a nice title for this subject tonight. Saturated fats and cholesterol actually are good for you. And Nora wraps it up nicely in Primal Fat Burner. Primal Blueprint from Mark Sisson. Know Your Fats by Mary Enig, who has a PhD in biochemistry, specializing in fats and oils. She goes about to talk about oils. We Want to Live the Primal Diet by Arjunas Vandaplanets. You'll hear a quote that I have in this presentation tonight from him. Of course, Paul Saladino, medical doctor, writes about fat in the Carnivore Code. He's becoming quite the popular person here now in the field of nutrition for optimal performance. And then here's a book, The PEO Solution. That's Brian Peskin's work on parent essential oils and essential fats. And he also writes in there the importance of saturated animal fats in our human diet. Anyway, that's a short list. And instead of giving a lengthy quote, I just rattled off a bunch of books. And you'll see on the photo, the photo or thumbnail of this particular podcast, you'll see Nina's book in the picture. So you could have information there. I'm not going to list all these in the description, sorry to say, but if you wanted to reach out to me and grab some of those titles again, you can certainly hit the contact link in the description, shoot me an email, and I'll be glad to send you some of those titles, okay? Back to this. I'm just getting warmed up, getting ready. It's seemingly a little bit late. It's 7:15 here in New England. And usually I'm winding down to get some good sleep. Why? Believe it or not, sleep is probably the most important nutrient that we need nowadays. Like right now, we need rest and sleep. High quality sleep that is majorly disrupted by our artificial lights and our technology. And if you want to become or remain insulin resistant, just make sure you don't get good sleep. And if you want to do something very, very important to your health, let's follow the sun. Get to bed relatively soon after the sun goes down, and let's try and get up with the sun. That's nature's way, and nature heals. That's a lot about what this podcast is about. Do the Cure is when we think about that, do the cure, people are, what are you talking about, do the cure? What do you mean? What's the cure? Well, I have some podcasts on that in earlier episodes, so feel free to go back and review those. But everyone knows that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if you want to cure anything, you actually just have to prevent it from occurring. Easy in its philosophy, maybe difficult in its application due to our domestication and all these comforts of modern living that we take advantage of and sacrifice our health for it. And then we complain that we can't get healthy. That's not what we're all about. Hopefully you're not either. You're listening to this because you're a spiritual warrior fighting the battle to reclaim your health in this lifetime and to be optimally vital so that you can share that with the world. I think it's one of our greatest assets personally is the quality and quantity of our health. How do I know it's the foundation or it's a foundation to our well-being? I probably mentioned this before, but I'll do it again just for a new listener. When a baby comes into the world, what do the parents really want for that child immediately right then? What is it that they're really concerned about? You know, is that baby healthy? That's it. And so I use that imagery to uphold that health is the foundation to our human life and existence, and experiences and expression of our greatness is through how healthy we really are. With that said, tonight let's talk a little bit about saturated animal fat and cholesterol and how this whole fear and phobia of this came about. It really was back in the 50s, mid to late 50s, when Ansel Keys did a epidemiology study of about 22 countries. And then he found a correlation that seven of those countries sort of proved his hypothesis that the more saturated fat and cholesterol in the diet, the higher the incidence of coronary heart disease was proposed. But of course, he left out 15 of the countries that sort of put a weak link in his hypothesis. So instead of changing the hypothesis, he amped up his ability to charismatically persuade people of influence in industry and politics to take on this hypothesis as though it was real. And so we did it. But so, you know, a hypothesis really is just a proposition made as a basis for reasoning without any assumption of its truth, right? That's what we're supposed to do. And then you basically go and test it, right? So there's limited evidence of the hypothesis, and it just begins as a starting point for further investigation. So that's what Ansel Keys cut out to do. But a lot of people in the scientific community say that he had an agenda to support industry, because that was the time when a lot of other fake vegetable oils were hitting the shelves, fake Crisco oil, you know, and what was it, shortening, hydrogenated fats were being proposed and produced. And so some people say he had an agenda to try and find a way to put a fear into the public's mind about saturated animal fat and cholesterol as the problem, and that the solution was industry's new fandangled, adulterated, you know, lab food, Frankenstein food, as some people call it. And people won it over because the government got involved and made policy on it. You know, American Heart Disease did a lot of things about that. So Ansel Keys, he put forth that the high-fat diet, particularly a diet high in saturated fat, was a major contribution to high cholesterol, which in turn leads to heart disease in the form of arterial sclerosis and artery plaque buildup. And so 70 years later, roughly, this hypothesis is still holding strong for the most part if you're in the general masses, if you observe the general masses. But there are a lot of people coming around where the carnivore diet, the primal diet, the raw primal diet, the ketogenic diet, there's a lot of people moving in the direction that animal fats are actually highly beneficial, especially in our times right now, in days right now, because of the high stress that we're under and the challenges our immune system are going through. And with all the acknowledgement that diabetes and metabolic syndrome and insulin resistance are starting to get some traction and how it's affecting people's overall well-being and mental health. So here I am trying to do my part to just give voice to that part of the coin where we think that saturated fats are beneficial to us. And let's just see if we can discuss some of the things that validate that. So there was a study a long time ago, the Framingham Heart Study. It began in 1948 with about 5,000 adult subjects from Framingham, Massachusetts, where I'm from. I'm not from that town, but I'm from that state. And it was on its third generation when I was putting together this PowerPoint presentation for Northeast Organic Farmers Association some years ago. And here's what one of the Framingham Heart Study directors has to say about that study. Dr. William Castell says, in Framingham, Mass, the more saturated fat one ate, the more cholesterol one ate, the more calories one ate, the lower the person's serum cholesterol, which was the opposite of what the equations provided by Hegstead et al. In 1965 and Ansel Keys et al. In 1957 would have predicted. That was from Mary Enig, PhD. She has a PhD in Sally Fallon. This was in The Truth About Saturated Fats. That's where I got the quote, The Truth About Saturated Fats. You know, I think that's pretty irony, right? A little bit of irony there where Ansel Keys was trying to push this whole notion that saturated animal fat and cholesterol actually caused huge problems in people's serum cholesterol, yet the actual Framingham study proved to show the opposite correlation. Further down the rabbit hole, in Mary Enig's book, Know Your Fats, Castell was further quoted to say, in Framingham, for example, we found that the people who ate the most cholesterol, who ate the most saturated fat, and ate the most calories actually weighed the least and were the most physically active. Why? Well, saturated fats and cholesterol, specifically cholesterol, is needed to produce your hormones. Yeah, so it's a vital component of production or producing your steroidal hormones. If you don't think that's important, you're going to have to think twice about that. So a quick fact on cholesterol. Cholesterol is actually a mammalian sterol. It's a structural component of all cell surfaces and all intracellular membrane in concentrations of up to 40% of the total membrane. It's a component of all cell surfaces and all intracellular membranes in concentrations up to 40% of the total membrane. That's quite a bit. That was from Mary Enig again and Know Your Fats. So she was a real student of fats and oils. The myelinated structures of the brain and the central nervous system are especially rich in cholesterol. Cholesterol is the precursor molecule for steroids, stress hormones, and your sex hormones, and also is needed to help produce vitamin D, which is a lot of talk these days. People are saying, oh, I'm getting my vitamin D, but they don't even really know the story about vitamin D. I'm not an expert on it, but I do have common sense. And vitamin D does not just act alone, and you're going to need sunlight and cholesterol to help produce it. So cholesterol is a rather potent antioxidant weapon against free radicals in the blood. Oh my gosh, think about this. Cholesterol is an antioxidant. Antioxidants are supposed to come from plants, right? How can an animal product be an antioxidant? I thought it was supposed to be extremely hazardous to our health, according to mainstream, I guess, wisdom, if I could call it that. I couldn't come up with a word for it. Please help me out there. It's a repair substance that helps heal arterial damage. So when your arteries are damaged, cholesterol shows up to actually patch it in, kind of like if you had a crack in your home's foundation. You go down and you go to your home improvement center and you get something to patch it. Pretty much that's what cholesterol does. So cholesterol shows up at the site and gets blamed for it. But a lot of people need a scapegoat, someone to blame, something to blame for their lack of awareness on how to live healthfully. no shame or blame there. It's just that our society has been conditioned to believe that disease is inevitable and out of our control, and we don't have control over it. So we don't do anything about it. We go to the doctor to help us with our health. It has nothing to do with how we're living. It's not how we're eating, moving, breathing, sleeping, and being creative and loving. It has nothing to do with how we're living. Right? So we need something to blame. We need the germs, the microbes that caused me to be ill, the saturated fat caused my heart disease. Take out my heart. Give me a quadruple bypass surgery. Let's get real, folks. Let's just dive into that. Let's just say that let's just consider that we are responsible for our health and well-being, and that how we live creates those results. What about saturated fat? I mean, they usually go together. Where you find cholesterol, there's probably quite a bit of saturated fat, right? But saturated fatty acids constitute at least 50% of the cell membranes. So it's like your skin, you know, your skin and cell membranes. 50% of cell membranes, 50% is saturated fat constitutes. Certainly each cell what types of cell will have a different composition, but on average, 50% of the cell membrane is saturated fat. Here's something you probably didn't know. Did you know that there's 35 different types of saturated fats? Yeah, all from short chain all the way up to long chain saturated fatty acids. Now, what is it about saturated fat? So first of all, let's just think about this. Saturated fats are solid at room temperature. They're very stable. Think of coconut or coconut oil. It's very stable. It doesn't oxidize. It doesn't go rancid. That's the beauty of saturated fat. It doesn't go rancid. That's why it's very protective. Saturated fats actually downregulate LPA, which is a substance in the blood that indicates a proneness to heart disease. So it downregulates your proneness to heart disease. So it actually is beneficial in the prevention of heart disease. I kind of have a smile because I think knowing this should make some people think twice about whether they have a phobia or a fear of saturated fat as being part of their diet. So saturated fats allow neurotransmitters to properly transmit nerve impulses that supports brain function. It's well known that short and medium chain fatty acids, saturated fatty acids, have important antimicrobial activity and enhance the immune system. And they're really not antimicrobial. I don't think that's an appropriate phrase. I think it's great for marketing, you know, like lauric acid and stuff. But I like to think of it as it creates greater balance and homeostasis within the microbial community. So that means it's going to help to balance the act out inside our gut so that we can optimally perform our digestive activities and make sure that we can absorb nutrients appropriately and effectively and efficiently. So antimicrobial, maybe, you know, in a petri dish, but I'm wondering what happens truly when it goes in the body. Is it if it's antimicrobial or if it's creating a balance? And so some will die and some will grow. This is a really key thing to think about. Saturated fats are necessary for the absorption and assimilation of fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K, which are all vital for immune function. So how can we have been duped into believing that saturated fat is so bad for us when it's vital for immune function, when it's vital for hormonal production, particularly stress hormones? So if you're under stress, this is very helpful. What about sex hormones? Very important if you want to have babies. or have some virility and fertility. And relevant to our days and current circumstances around you know what, the pulmonary, the lung surfactant, which is made up 100% of saturated fats. The lung surfactant is made up of 100% saturated fat, and proteins reduce surface tension and aid in protecting the lungs from toxins. And if you eat saturated fat in the absence of sugars and high carbohydrates, starchy carbohydrates, then you'll downregulate hormone leptin, which will then communicate that we have satiety, we're satisfied, and we're safe in the world because our metabolic needs are being met. I mean, you could do a whole talk on someone that's an expert on leptin, right? Just preparing for more work down the road for me, I guess. The USDA continues to propagate that there's no required role for saturated fats other than as an energy source, since they believe that the body can synthesize its need for saturated fatty acids and cholesterol from other sources. True enough. Is it working? Look at all the diabetics out there. Look at all the people with insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. Look at all the people that are having infertility problems, hormonal problems, neurological problems. So the USDA and their so-called Food and Nutritional Information Center continues to abide by this hypothesis that seems to have quite a bit of information and validation that saturated fats are actually good for us. So remember what I said about Mary Enig. She had another quote that Dr. McCullough wrote up in an article by Mary Enig and Sally Fallon that was on Joseph McCullough's website, McCullough.com. Fats contain nutrients like vitamin A. That's true vitamin A, retinol, not beta carotene, which is not vitamin A. And marketeers will try and tell you that it's vitamin A, but it's not. So fats contain nutrients like true vitamin A that the body needs to utilize the amino acids and minerals in flesh foods. Without fat in the diet, the body rapidly uses up its own stores of fat-soluble vitamins. And when these vital nutrients are depleted, the human organism can no longer fight off disease. Wow. So that's why when you eat your lean meats, you could be running into some problems because you're going to be short, or you're going to have to rely on robbing your body's storage of vitamin A and fat-soluble nutrients to actually process the amino acids and minerals in that lean protein, that white chicken breast with no skin, the pork chop that you ate and you cut all the fat off it, your 95%, 90% lean ground beef. Let's keep going. Let's just see what Arjunas Vonoplanus has to say in his book, We Want to Live the Primal Diet. Because fat cleans, fuels, lubricates, and protects the body, it is needed more than any other single nutrient, that is, more than protein, sugar, and starch. Fat is a necessary catalyst for utilizing minerals and proteins, and that is why a diet resplendent in raw fat is so important to excellent health. People who eat diets low in fat often develop immune deficiencies sometime in their life. Wow. And think about how many autoimmune diseases are happening, how much cancer is happening in our life right now. And if your immune system starts to unconsciously, let's think about this. If unconsciously you start to have a deep subconscious low-grade immune function, like your natural defense is not working that right, but you're not aware of it. You're just functioning in life and going about your everyday business. That could start to develop some other fears around things like microbes coming to attack you and take you over because your immune system is not running right. So if you have a fear of or a phobia of the germs causing illness to you, which I mentioned in my previous podcast, then we know that your immune system subconsciously is saying, hey, wake up. You're not supposed to be afraid of these things. Supposed to be in a symbiotic relationship with everything, harmonious relationship with everything and everyone, and your own body. So if you're also low in those microbes, maybe you're low in saturated fat, and thus you develop these immune deficiencies that you might not be aware of right now. They're subclinical, as some people would claim is the technical term. It's not within your consciousness yet. And it might wind up becoming conscious with major problems down the road. Uffe Rabenskov, he wrote in the book, The Cholesterol Myth, the idea that too much animal fat and high cholesterol are dangerous to your heart and vessels is nothing but a myth. Cholesterol is not a deadly poison, but a substance vital to the cells of all mammals. Remember, it's a myth, it's an idea, it's a hypothesis that continues to prove to be incorrect. At least there's plenty of evidence validating, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, about 13 or 14 books of some very brilliant individuals going to great lengths to research their work. So I don't know how you might think that so many smart people, dedicated people, committed people, ethical and people with great integrity to unmask the truth would be so dumb to write something about this, right? Again, I'm not the expert. I'm just someone that has great common sense, I think. That's where I'm going with this. So recapping here of the benefits of saturated fat, let's just do a little quick summary here. So saturated fats maintain bacterial balance in the body. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to plug this right now. Do you know where butter got its name from? Yeah, it's one of the highest sources of butyric acid in any food substance. Now, butyric acid is a small or a short-chain fatty acid. And you know what the benefits of that is? Not only does it lubricate the digestive tract real nicely, butter's, you know, wonderfully lubricating. Think of it like oil in your car, but it's nice and it's saturated and it's not going to oxidize. It's not going to go rancid so quickly. Anyway, butyric acid is a major component of butter. That's how it got its name. And it actually is fuel, direct fuel for the cells of your intestinal tract. So if butyric acid is a fuel for your cells in your body, in your intestinal tract, how could it ever be so bad? Now, you could eat a lot of vegetation and then you'll have microbial activity to try and break that plant matter down, because we as human beings don't have the greatest digestive system to do that. Mainly, we don't have the enzyme cellulase to break down the cellulose to get as much efficient nutrients out of the cell because it's locked into that cellulose. So we need bacterial fermentation to break it down. And then they try to convert that into some of it into butyric acid. So why all the hassle? Have a little butter in your diet and you're all set. Saturated fats improve immune function, as we mentioned, because of the fat-soluble vitamins. Not only that, it actually helps you to get the minerals and the amino acids out of the proteins in all flesh that you're eating. It protects and improves the liver function because when you do eat these animal fats, it helps to move the bile out of your liver and out of your gallbladder. And bile is helpful in removing toxins. That's how they move out of the bloodstream, out of the liver and into the small intestine and down into the large intestine and out of your body. And those bile acids, I mean, if I went to study those, bile acid, I'm pretty sure is a crazy important feature of our digestive system for emulsifying those fats and digesting them and absorbing them. So bile function is a very important process that we need to consider. And the saturated fats help to protect and improve the liver function. As we mentioned, it's showing that it is a basically can decrease risk of heart disease so long as you're not eating sugar with your fat and not eating a lot of starchy carbohydrates necessarily with your fat, but specifically sugars. Sugar and fat is a bad combination. So I mentioned essential fatty acids in the book, The PEO Solution by Brian Peskin, right? PEO, parent essential oils, essential fatty acids, omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. So you need saturated fats for the necessary utilization of them effectively and efficiently, and to protect those essential fatty acids from being oxidized and going rancid. It's actually the preferred fuel for the heart and brain. There's a saturated 18-carbon stearic acid and a 16-carbon palmitic acid, which are the preferred foods for the heart and the brain. And because it can help you absorb minerals appropriately, it can prevent osteoporosis. At least that's what they're listing is a prevention or a means for preventing osteoporosis. And perhaps even reversing it. This would have to be your own self-exploration. What are some great sources of saturated fat and cholesterol? Well, some of my favorites is essentially the deep kidney fat in the animal and the back fat of animals. You know, anytime I can get the fat of the animal, that is my preferred source. Second, I love raw butter as a source, but I like to consider higher quality from pasture-raised, pasture-finished animals. You can get some saturated fat and cholesterol through meat and poultry, pasture-raised eggs, very high in vitamin K2 as well. Raw milk. Raw milk has some K2, and raw cheeses have some vitamin K2, fat-soluble vitamin. Particularly Gouda. I think Gouda is the highest on the animal list, except for emu oil, which is an interesting oil. I'm not going to talk about it here, but you can go to Walkabout Health Products, walkabouthealthproducts.com. And they can provide you with information on emu oil, E-M-U, emu oil, and has the highest concentration of vitamin K2 from the animal kingdom, and Gouda cheese and eggs, raw eggs, egg yolks, very important. Coconut products, saturated fats, right? Coconut is predominantly saturated fat. Coconut cream, coconut oil. Cocoa butter has quite a bit of saturated fat. It's solid at room temperature, right? And some people do dive into palm oil and palm kernel oil. And some people have, I guess, avoided it because of the destruction that they're doing down in the Amazon to make palm plantations, so to speak. But I'm pretty sure there's ethical sources of that and sustainable sources of palm oil and palm kernel oil that you can use a little bit. I don't particularly need it. I don't care for it because I can get it all in the other saturated fats that I just mentioned, or sources of saturated fat that I mentioned. So where are we coming? Where are we going from here? Been a long night, long journey. I've given you quite a bit of, a lot of head information. And as much as that's good in theory, it would be wise for you to take a look for yourself to go in and dive deeper and wider into this topic. And if you have any questions for me, comments, or if you just want to have a 20-minute consultation with me, that would be fantastic. And I have a link in the description box that you can reach out to me and describe what your concerns are or what your comments are. If you like this video, or, well, it's not a video. I keep mentioning that I want to do video podcasts, and it's subconsciously coming out now as a Freudian slip. So I'm way ahead of myself, I guess, spiritually speaking, from where I'm at in my small little humble apartment and doing my best to practice this art of broadcasting through podcasting. So if you found this valuable, this audio podcast valuable, please send me some comments on how I can make it better. But the whole goal for me being here right now is so I can become better at what I'm doing and delivering a better content, delivering it with better zest and enthusiasm for your life, and to progressively move towards that little unconscious Freudian slip that this was a video podcast. I guess I'm already in my imagination. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I hope you did enjoy it. I hope you got some value. If you feel that somebody else could use this information, please do share it with them. And I'm going to go ahead and say, if you like this information, follow it. Follow me, because I'm going to be trying to do one or two of these every week as I continue to practice my art of broadcasting through podcasting. And also, I think if you want to send a comment, that would be fine, and any other various things. If you want to get in touch with me, again, I'll have a link in my description. You can check out my website in the meantime at danhegerich.com, D-A-N-H-E-G-E-R-I-C-H, danhegerich.com, to learn more about my optimal coaching services, my mentorship and teaching that are all geared towards helping you to become healthier, wealthier, and more loving today than yesterday. And if you are doing those things, then you will be doing the cure. And if you're doing the cure, you become the cure. And that, I think, is what humanity needs more now, is for more people stepping into that, at least from my view. So many blessings to everybody. Power and grace. Remember, health is the foundation to life, and love is the purpose for living.